Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be back with you tonight. When we come together as brethren, I believe that one of the things that we should be concerned about is our spiritual health. I know that we're concerned about our physical health. That's obvious because we talk about going to the doctor. We talk about exercise. We talk about different types of things along the way. And I've been to the doctor a few times in my lifetime. It just seems like every time I go in there, one of the first things that they do is they stick that big blue band around my arm and start pumping up full of air and checking my blood pressure. Then they either stick a thermometer in my mouth or they run something across my forehead to take my temperature. Doctor will come in, he'll look at me and stick the stethoscope by my heart to see if I've got a beat. I wasn't trying to hit my microphone on purpose for that, but the sound effects, you got it. And what are they doing? Basically, they're checking for my vital signs, aren't they? They want to make sure that the things that are supposed to be working properly that are working properly within my body. And it's something that is necessary so that the doctor, if things are not working properly, they can begin to form some form of diagnosis as to whether I'm healthy, or if I am healthy, then I can walk out the door. But if I'm unhealthy, then they can make a diagnosis and put me on a plan to restore my health. I think about people in general and how much more it seems like today we have become health conscious. I'm not saying that we weren't health conscious 40, 50, 60 years ago in our nation's history, but it seems like right now you can't turn on a TV or you can't go on your computer or anything without seeing some form of infomercial about some health equipment or exercise video or something like that. One of the newest health crazes is CrossFit. The idea behind that is not to build up just muscle, but have functional muscle. And it's a different process for exercising. And so it's not just simply to bulk up and be muscle bound, like we see bodybuilders, but to be able to have muscles that are lean, big, and flexible, even for that matter, for the whole body to be fit. John, when he was talking to Gaius and his family in 3 John, mentions something about that in verse 2, that, "Behold, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And I think there's something there that when we think about the physical health that he was requesting for their behalf, but more importantly, he was even talking about their spiritual health at the very same time. You see, in the Greek, the word healthy means in good health, and that's what John is referring to right there when he uses the Greek word in this text. Luke uses a similar word in the Greek when he's talking about healthy, but he's talking about in Luke chapter 15 and verse 27, he uses the phrase there, safe and sound. And he's talking about health, spiritual health. So as we're thinking about vital signs, and as you see by the title of this lesson, we're going to talk about some vital signs of a healthy church. Now this morning we kind of talked about God's people and what we should be doing with the Lord's house and how we should be building it. But I want to change it up just a little bit this evening and talk about spiritual health within the church. And what are some of the signs that we can look at to see whether or not we are a healthy group of individuals, or whether there are things that need to be done to seek out the great physician and go back to his word. Let me go ahead and preface this. I'm not saying anything's wrong. But we might see something along the way that say we can do better at, well, we can have better health in this area. And that's all we're looking at. And I want you to take into consideration that Christians, that God wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be healthy spiritually. I believe He wants us to be healthy physically, but more importantly, He wants us to truly take care of the inner man. And when we think about the Christian's need to be healthy, one of the first things that I think of is what goes into our bodies or what goes into our hearts to promote good spiritual health? Well, we can look at such things as 1 Timothy 1 and verses 10 and 11 and chapter 6 and verse 3, but I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 13. These are things that we're going to point out that are important to maintaining spiritual health, sound spiritual health. And when you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." When Timothy is being addressed by the Apostle Paul, Paul is telling him there are things that you need to pay attention to, things that I have said that are sound words, so that you can remain in good spiritual health. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, I'm dropping down right now. I'm jumping ahead. I want you to consider those things about sound words first. Before I jump ahead to the next point, sound words is not me just speaking clearly. It's me using God's Word and using it properly and feeding you properly with God's Word. I had you look at Timothy, but I want you to look at Titus also. Because Paul's instruction to Titus is very similar to that of Timothy and the encouragement there. And we can look at Titus chapter 1 and Titus chapter 2. And in both instances, you look at chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul states this testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. I know that through the years that with the division that has taken place within the church and among brethren, that is something that both sides or whatever side of whatever issue they are on, they believe that they are sound in the faith. But how do we know if we are sound in the faith? One, I know that I can go back and I can give myself a checkup, my faith a checkup, to know whether or not I'm in Christ, like Paul tells the church at Corinth. But drop down to chapter 2 for just a moment. And I want you to listen again. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith, in love, in patience. There's something about this. In order to be sound in the faith, what Paul told Timothy about sound doctrine, a pattern of sound doctrine, that's what needs to be followed so an individual can be sound in the faith. That means the foundation of your faith is solid. That means the foundation of your faith is a proper foundation of faith, and you continue to build upon that with the gospel correctly. It's rightly dividing the word of truth. It is standing firm then in that, but also when you announce that message. Your words are true. Your testimony is as true as what the Apostle Paul's was. I also know that when it comes to being sound, our sound health, God's Word provides the nourishment for that soundness. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4, one of the things that Jesus, in his response to Satan about turning stones into bread, Jesus said, "You shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That's our nourishment. That is how we know that we can be sound in the faith. That is how we know that we can be sound and follow a pattern of sound doctrine that's available to us. But when we feast upon God's Word, when I consider what I see in Scripture, I know that there is nourishment for every child of God. From the babe in Christ to the mature in Christ. It starts out with the pure milk of the Word in 1 Peter chapter 2, and it goes to that strong meat that the apostle or that the writer of the book of Hebrews speaks of in Hebrews chapter, excuse me, I'm jumping ahead of myself again. But Hebrews chapter 11, no, chapter 5, verse 11. I'll get it right. I got my numbers wixed up here. But consider that for just a moment. That what we have is for our benefit. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Consider that for just a minute too. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. That's my responsibility. That's Paul telling Timothy his responsibility, to be nourished in the words of faith. But I want to suggest this. That is not only my responsibility. There comes a time in the lives of every child of God, just like the writer in Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 5, that by reason of time you ought to be teachers. That means that you should be able to distinguish and find the meat of God's Word on your own and be able to use it on your own. But we have to be able to discern truth from error. And it takes a pattern of sound words in order to accomplish that. I believe God wants a healthy church. Just not the healthy Christian, but He wants a healthy church, and He wants a healthy church that is a united church. I read something a few days ago as I was thinking about this lesson, and it was meant to be somewhat sarcastic and humorous at the same time, but an individual wrote a letter to a congregation and was asking questions about it, wanting to identify what type of church they were. And one of the questions was, are the brethren united? And unfortunately, the response that came back was answering all the questions. And when it came to that particular question, said, no, we're not always united. Now, that's not what God wants. Now, I understand that we are individuals and we do have differing opinions from time to time. And we're not, based on our opinions, are going to agree 100% of the time on every little thing. But when it comes to God's Word, we're supposed to be united in that. I truly believe that when I look at this, and you can look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 for just a moment, and you can see that when Paul is writing there, he talks about till we come to the unity of the faith in that text. It is something that we are supposed to be striving for, a united faith. I mentioned last Sunday evening about why I am a Christian. And I mentioned the faith of my parents. But you know what? The faith of my parents is not the reason I am a Christian today. That was part of the reason that got me moving in the right direction, but my faith had to become my own. But our faith is to be in the same things. It's in the same God. It's in the same Savior that died for our sins. It's in the same teaching that comes from the New Testament. And we should be united. We should be able to speak the same things. We should be able to be joined in our judgments the same thing. Being of the same mind. There's unity. Unity that Jesus Christ prayed for in John chapter 17 when He was talking to God before He was crucified. That we all be one as He and the Father were one. True unity among brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. I've kind of paraphrased it already about speaking the same things and being of the same mind and of the same judgment. It is possible. Some people will say it's impossible for us to be united because we cannot understand the Bible alike. And Paul automatically disqualifies that argument in Ephesians chapter 3. Because he says the things that he wrote were written so that we can understand them. And even though Peter says something about the Apostle Paul's words sometimes being hard to understand, he didn't say they were impossible to understand. I wasn't here when Ron taught the book of Revelation. But you know what? A lot of people don't like looking at the book of Revelation because they say it's a hard book to understand. Now, I've been trying to go through, slowly going through the videos of his teaching that class, but I think he, from what I've seen so far, and I don't expect to see anything different as I keep looking at the class videos, he did a pretty good job of breaking it down for you so that you could understand it. Other people have done the same thing. Just because something's hard to understand doesn't mean that we can't understand it and that we can't understand it alike. That we cannot be united. And that's not it's just not true when we start talking about that, because then we start saying that that's why the divisions in the religious world are there. That was never God's plan. He wanted a united church. He wanted a healthy church that has knowledge of the Son of God. You continue to think about that in verse 13 of Hebrews or Ephesians chapter 4 again. I said, talking about till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what He wants from us. He wants the local church, the brethren, working together. He wants us to be healthy. A healthy church, then, is a church that preaches a healthy doctrine. And when I'm saying doctrine, I want to use it in the biblical sense. Doctrine is teaching. What doctrine is biblical teaching. Doctrine is not something that we just pull out of the air and we say, baptism is a doctrine. Baptism is a biblical teaching. It is a doctrine, but it's not a man-made doctrine. All too often, doctrine is used negatively in the religious world, and it was used negatively by Jesus Christ when He said that men were teaching for themselves the doctrines of men. But when we are talking about healthy doctrine, we're talking about that which is provided through Scripture. If you've got your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 4, you've been looking at verse 13, look at verses 14 and 15. Because both points on this screen are taken from those two verses. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Yes, there are negative ways in which men can build and construct a message and make it a doctrine that can deceive us. But here's the thing. What's going to keep us united is knowing God's Word. Each one of us knowing God's Word. Not just the preacher, not just the elders, but every single child of God diving into the Word of God themselves and studying and applying it to their lives. It's taking that knowledge of the Son of God and then using it so that we can preach that healthy doctrine. It's taking that knowledge of the Son of God so that the healthy church is the one that does what? It speaks the truth. And it speaks it in love. And the reason, I truly believe that the reason Paul says speak the truth in love is that's the way it was meant to be presented all along. The Word of God was never meant to be something that we bludgeon people with. The Word of God was meant to draw people, was be used to draw people to Christ. And yet, we've all either experienced it one way or another, whether we know somebody that has done it or it's been done to somebody that you know. Some people have been turned off by the Word of God because it wasn't delivered to them with people knowing that we care about their souls. So sometimes churches are not healthy. They exhibit different symptoms for failing spiritual health. Go over to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 for an example. Kind of like the way Ron, I think I remember this, and if I've got this wrong, Ron, you can correct me later. But if I remember what he said, he kind of looked at all seven of the churches, not as individual churches, even though they're described as individual churches, but being symptomatic of the church in general. And that may not be exactly it, but you see seven different churches there described. Some who are in good health, some who are in poor health, some who are dead. And no matter where you look in the world today, you can find a picture of a church described right there in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Ephesus lacked enthusiasm, a problem that required them to return to their first love. Pergamos followed false teaching that led to the practice of immorality. Thyatira followed the prophetess Jezebel. Why? To teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. The church in Sardis was instructed to wake up. They had become lethargic and did not put forth enough effort to remain healthy. And I tell you what, I honestly don't remember where I heard this, but it has stuck in my mind about this church of Sardis. They were nothing more than a morgue with a steeple. That's one way to describe them. The church at Laodicea had become so apathetic and so indifferent and so lukewarm that they were suffering from what some individual might call spiritual hypothermia. But I don't think that was correct. It wasn't hypothermia because they were lukewarm. They had just become inactive. Think about this for just a moment. There was really only one church of the seven, the church at Philadelphia, chapter 3 and verse 7, that was in decent spiritual health. Only one that truly had everything said about it in a positive fashion. Now, I'm not trying to say that what John was recording for us there in those chapters means only one-seventh of the local churches around the world are healthy. That's not what he's saying. But it is saying that there's a possibility that no matter where we are, where we're worshiping at any given time in our lives, our church, our local church, could fit the picture that is seen right there of those. And even though that is figurative language that is being used, even though this is a vision of John, I don't think too many people have trouble seeing the picture of the church in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now, you get a little further into the book, that's where people start having difficulty. But it was always God's intention that His church be healthy, that His children, the followers of Jesus Christ, be healthy. So let me ask you this. What makes up a healthy church? Turn to Acts chapter 2. There is a picture in Acts chapter 2 that we're going to look at for the remainder of the lesson. And I want you to consider the things that we're about to say, and if we need to apply them, let's apply them. If we need to improve them, let's improve them. One of the things that I do know is quite often it doesn't matter, like I said, which side of the division that you're on. Sometimes what we have done is we've forgotten to listen to each other. We end up reacting instead of listening and learning a little bit so that we can go back and see the pattern of what the brethren, how they behaved when the church first began. God wants a healthy church, and He wants it to have a Christ-centered mindset. You cannot deny that, because all the primary teaching of the New Testament centered around the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that was manifest in the flesh. It comes around Him, and it is evident even from the preaching from the very beginning, because what did Peter preach? He preached Christ crucified. He preached that He was alive today because He had been raised up from the dead. He preached that the people there on the day of Pentecost needed to listen to this lesson because they were the ones that were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. And when we preach messages like that, that are as powerful because of God's Word that Peter would preach, it will prick people's hearts. It will draw them to Christ. And it will show them, just as it did on that day, that God loved them and sent His Son to die for them. It will cause people to shout out, "What shall we do? What do we need to do?" It's not going to affect everybody that way, but those who have soft hearts. The heart that has not been hardened so hard toward God that it cannot become soft. You might not prick them. You might not even chip the heart a little bit. But there are people out there in the world today that are wanting this message. And when it hits the right heart, when it plucks that proper chord in their lives, they cry out, I want the same thing that these people had. God wants that mindset of teaching people about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, you're not going to convert them talking about Arkansas football. You're not going to convert them talking about presidential elections. You're not going to convert them talking about home design or yard work. The only thing that's going to convert them is this message here about Jesus Christ. A healthy church, that's what they're doing. Not just from the pulpit, but when we leave this building. A healthy church is one that is talking to people. One old brother in Christ, when he's talking to congregation in Portales when Cindy and I were there, he just made it simple. We have to make noise. And it's not just standing up and shouting and jumping up and down. When he's talking about noise, he's talking about spreading the good news. But we have to be heard. Our message is God's message. And when we spread God's message to those that we may not know, to those that we do know, and mix it with the love that is intended by our Savior, when we speak the truth in love, it will do this. Let me tell you, I don't believe Peter got up there on that day of Pentecost to bash people and say, look, you fools were the ones that were guilty of killing Jesus Christ. That wasn't what he got up there to do. He got up there to show them that the Son of God has come. He died for them. He's raised again. He's sitting on his throne. And you need to be looking to him. Then you look at this. What it needs is devoted members. And when you look at Acts chapter 2 and you drop down to verse 42, after those 3,000 folks had been baptized, this devotion, this type of what's talking about, it says, and they continued. See, that's just it. There's the devotion, that it's the continuing. Whatever. What did they do? They didn't just stop after they were baptized. They didn't say that, all right, everything's hunky-dory and we don't have to do anything else now. They continued, and they continued in something that was important. Remember we talked about sound doctrine at the beginning? Sound words? I believe that's what they continued in. Because what did they do? They continued in steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Those would have been sound words to make them sound in the faith. Keep them sound in the faith. And fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Generally, we look at those things and we talk about them as aspects of our worship when we come together. But this was something that they did also on a regular basis. It wasn't just a once in a while type of thing. But not only were they does God want devoted members in His church? A sign of a healthy church is a sharing fellowship. A people that truly care for one another. A people that love one another and know and when there is a need and they can go help with that need. Look at verses 44 and 45 in Acts chapter 2. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now we joke every time we get up here and we talk about our members who are physically sick. And I make this comment every now and then. I said, I know we're supposed to have all things in common. I don't want you to share that with me when you're sick. But that's not what he's talking about right here. And we can make light of that every time we do this. But what they had in common, they had the Son of God in common. They had God the Father in common. They had their faith that was now in common. They were growing up in their faith and they were learning to speak the same things, be of the same mind and of the same judgment together. because they were going back to verse 42 and they were staying steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine in those things. But they were in fellowship with one another. And what happened? And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Really, what takes place is brethren will take care of brethren when needs arise and can be met. We're not experiencing what they were experiencing in Jerusalem and Judea at this particular time. In our country, I don't know of a time where we've actually experienced famine, because we've had people that have worked the ground, and farmers who, as old Bud back there would once say, were outstanding in their fields all the time. People who knew how to grow things, and people had food in this country. We haven't had a true famine in this nation. We haven't experienced the difficulties that some of these people would have been experiencing in their lives, and yet what they did was they decided, we're going to come together. We're going to do the right thing for each other. So it was a sharing fellowship. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37, you see what's taking place there even, that they were doing that. They were selling their land, laying the money at the apostles' feet. Barnabas is one in that group that you see in Acts chapter 4 that does that very thing. Why? Because they loved one another. They preferred one another. They shared with one another. They not only had fellowship in that sharing then with the gospel, but with the physical needs when necessary. They had a focused leadership. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 really can describe that to us, and the fact that you see what was taking place with the apostles, the fact that there was a need for men to do work that allowed the apostles to continue preaching the gospel. But the apostles were focused in this work. That you think about this, there's a need for strong elderships. There's need for faithful deacons. There's a need for every member who lead by example in faith. There needs to be a scriptural plan of action and spiritual growth for brethren, but also a plan of action to meet need when necessary. And the last thing that I want to show to you this evening is that there was an evangelistic fervency among them. Acts chapter 5, they were boldly proclaiming the gospel even though the apostles were being thrown into prison. Acts chapter 8, amidst persecution, they were going everywhere preaching the gospel. Preaching in the face of persecution, but not fearing it. Preaching in the face of rejection, but not accepting rejection. Preaching in hard times, but when the tough, as we say, when the going gets tough, the tough got going in the first century. We need that type of attitude about ourselves today, this type of fervency in our own faith, in our own actions, when it comes to getting the name of Jesus Christ out to the world. Now, having said all that, I've got three closing slides I want you to consider. The first one is this: if we're a church that is ailing, we need to seek the great physician. There's no doubt about that. That's basically what was stated in the book of Revelation to each of the churches that were told that if they didn't change, their candle would be removed. But in each and every time, the Lord would say to that church, I'm here, I'm knocking, listen to me. He who has an ear. You know, there's change is necessary. Second, You could be a semi-healthy church. But there are things that we need to do, those things that will promote better spiritual health. And only we as individuals can decide that. How many times have you heard someone say, be the change that you want to see in the world? You be the change that you want to see in the world. The same thing is true among brethren. Why do I say that? Because people will disappoint people from time to time. And instead of complaining about who we're disappointed in, let's be the change that's necessary to make change in other people also. Let's be the change that people want to see, even among brethren. But here's what we need more than anything else. It's this enthusiasm, this energy to always be working. To never be satisfied with where we are spiritually, because we need to keep moving forward, keep growing, keep strengthening the body and the hearts of those who may be weak in the faith. See, that's one of the things that those who are stronger in the faith should be doing. By being patient, by being loving, tender, kind to those who may be struggling with their faith. Reaching out and holding the hands of those who have the weak knees. Because I remember seeing something about an old barn that was falling down. To keep it from falling down, they propped it up on its leaning side. That's what we need to do with brethren. Sometimes we need to prop them up on that leaning side. We need to be there for one another. God wants a healthy child of God. He wants a healthy body for His church. Take out your songbooks. If you're here this evening, you're subject to the Lord's invitation. The song says, "Why not tonight?" And that is the question to you, and only you can answer that. If you need to reconcile your life to God this evening, we stand ready to do that in one of two ways. For those who have strayed from God or erred from God, whose faith is not what it needs to be, we stand ready to assist you with prayer and encouragement and reconcile that life to God. But if you never obeyed the gospel, all things are ready there too. To start a new life in Christ, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, we stand ready to assist you. Why not tonight? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?